भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 19. Chapter 19 is entitled The Appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. Today we are reading text 34. Sannidhyate Mahayogin.
Sannidhyate Mahayogin.
Sannidhyate Mahayogin.
Sannidhyate Mahayogin.
Patakani Mahantyapi.
Patakani Mahantyapi.
Patakani Mahantyapi.
Patakani Mahantyapi.
Sadyo Nashyanti Vaipumsam.
Sadyo Nashyanti Vaipumsam.
Sadyo Nashyanti Vaipumsam.
Sadyo Nashyanti Vaipumsam.
Vishnur Iva Suretara.
Vishnur Iva Suretara.
Vishnur Iva Suretara.
Vishnur Iva Suretara.
Sannidhyate Mahayogin.
Sannidhyate Mahayogin.
Patakani Mahantyapi.
Patakani Mahantyapi.
Sadyo Nashyanti Vaipumsam.
Sadyo Nashyanti Vaipumsam.
Vishnur Iva Suretarah.
Vishnur Iva Suretarah.
Sannidhyate Mahayogin.
Sannidhyate Mahayogin.
Patakani Mahantyapi.
Patakani Mahantyapi.
Sadyo Nashyanti Vaipumsam.
Sadyo Nashyanti Vaipumsam.
Vishnur Iva Suretarah.
Vishnur Iva Suretarah.
Sannidhya.
Sannidhya.
On account of the presence.
On account of the presence.
Say.
Your.
Mahayogi.
Mahayogi.
O great mystic.
O great mystic.
Patakani.
Patakani.
Since.
Since.
Mahanti.
Mahanti.
Invulnerable.
Invulnerable.
Api.
Api.
In spite of.
In spite of.
Sadhya.
Sadhya.
Immediately.
Immediately.
Nashyanti.
Nashyanti.
Vanquished.
Vanquished.
Why.
Why.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Pumsam.
Pumsam.
Of a person.
Of a person.
Vishnu.
Vishnu.
Like the presence of the personality of Godhead.
Like the presence of his personality.
Eva.
Eva.
Life.
Life.
Sura Itaraha.
Sura Itaraha.
Other than the demigods.
Other than the demigods.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Prabhupada. Just as the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence, O saint, O great mystic. Purport. There are two classes of human beings, namely the atheist and the devotee of the Lord. The devotee of the Lord, because of manifesting godly qualities, is called a demigod, whereas the atheist is called a demon. The demon cannot stand the presence of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. The demons are always busy in trying to vanquish the personality of Godhead. But factually, as soon as the personality of Godhead appears, by either his transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, paraphernalia or variegatedness, the demon is at once vanquished. It is said that a ghost cannot remain as soon as the holy name of the Lord is chanted. The great saints and devotees of the Lord are in the list of his paraphernalia. And thus, as soon as a saintly devotee is present, the ghostly sins are at once vanquished. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures. One is recommended, therefore, to associate only with saintly devotees so that worldly demons and ghosts cannot exert their sinister influence.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manovishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Guru.
कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल अपोलॉजीज फॉर बीइंग अ लिटिल लेट आई एम रियली सॉरी अबाउट दैट So in this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami, it's called Appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami just appeared a few verses ago. And everyone received him according to the proper Vedic etiquette. We discussed a few verses ago how all the sages, even though they were millions of years old, some of them are very old, but they all got up to receive Sukadeva Goswami. And the presidential seat, Prabhupada mentions, was given to Sukadeva Goswami to sit. He was the esteemed guest of honor in that assembly. And Sukadeva Goswami also reciprocates with all these sages. He shakes their hands, he bows down to his father and Narad Muni, and then he takes the presidential seat or the main seat which is meant for the speaker. And even Maharaj Parikshit receives Sukadeva Goswami very nicely. So Sukadeva Goswami actually sits on that Vyasasan, that esteemed seat, and it's mentioned by Prabhupada that he is sitting very straight and poised to answer any questions that Maharaj Parikshit could have. Because he knew that Maharaj Parikshit is now going to ask me lots of questions since he is about to leave his body. But Maharaj Parikshit, seeing that, does not just jump. That, oh, Sukadeva Goswami is here now, let me just quickly ask my questions and, you know, time is short, I'm going to die, so let me just start asking my questions. No, Maharaj Parikshit is showing very nice Vedic etiquette. So before he starts inquiring or before he starts asking the doubts that he has in his mind, like what are the duties of a dying man, what should a person do in his life, what should be, how this human form of life should be utilized. There are many questions which Maharaj Parikshit will now pose. But before he starts asking all this, Maharaj Parikshit is showing the etiquette that you should always glorify a devotee. And since the last two verses, Maharaj Parikshit has started speaking. Speaking what? Not asking his questions or not, you know, Prabhupada, as Prabhupada says in the purports, that whenever a spiritual master or a great saint comes, you should utilize the opportunity properly and ask relevant questions, not, you know, just go and ask some blessings, material blessings and all these things. So Maharaj Parikshit, even before inquiring about spiritual topics, he has started glorifying Sukadeva Goswami's position two verses ago. So in the first verse that Maharaj Parikshit speaks, he is glorifying Sukadeva Goswami's compassionate nature. He is saying that sages like you are so compassionate that they travel all over the earth giving their mercy to fallen people. And Maharaj Parikshit considers himself very fallen. He says that usually saints don't associate with royalty and they should actually, as recluse, they should be left outside the house. But still sages like you have come just to bless us and just to give us your association. So this is your mercy, that by your association we will get purified and we will rise to a transcendental level. So in the first verse that Maharaj Parikshit speaks, he is glorifying Sukadeva Goswami's compassionate nature. And then in the previous verse, which was discussed yesterday, Maharaj Parikshit is talking about the importance of Smaranam. Now we know that Smaranam is one of the 9 processes of devotional service. And by Smaranam, one can actually perfect their life and go back to Godhead. And who was the personality who did that? Who has been glorified for perfecting this process?
Prahlad.
It's Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj was constantly remembering the Lord. And because of constantly remembering the Lord, Narasimhadev actually appeared for protecting him and then he went back to Godhead. So in this regard, Maharaj Parikshit is glorifying the Smaranam of devotees of the Lord. So he is saying in the previous verse, in yesterday's verse, he is saying that just by remembering you, what to speak of worshipping you, receiving you properly in our homes, washing your lotus feet or serving you, just by remembering you, we become purified and all our sins go away. That is the potency of even the remembering you or your activities. So that is how Maharaj Parikshit is glorifying Smaranam. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that it is so important that people learn to receive or people learn to glorify these saints properly. Because Maharaj Parikshit, after saying about Smaranam, he says what to speak of serving you, washing your lotus feet or taking the dust from your lotus feet. So Prabhupada explains that this is the duty of every person, how to glorify and how to receive such a saint properly. In that purport, Prabhupada gives lots of instructions about a person's duty towards saints. And there is a very relevant verse which Prithu Maharaj speaks to the four Kumaras. Prithu Maharaj actually does yagya, where the Vishnu himself appears before, and the Lord, even the four Kumaras appear. And at that time Prithu Maharaj says, Vyalayaya Dhruma Vaiteshu Arikta Akhila Sampada Yadraha Satha Tirtha Padiya Pada Tirtha Vivarjitaha. So Vyalayaya Dhruma Vaiteshu, what does it mean? It means Prithu Maharaj was again glorifying, because the four Kumaras, who are also sages, they had just appeared. And Prithu Maharaj is glorifying them. He is saying that wherever you sages appear, all the sins just go away. And any householder, he is specifically talking about householder, because Prithu Maharaj himself was a householder. He says that any house or any householder who do not receive you sages properly, that house is considered to be an alayam, a place where only venomous serpents are living. Where you are not received properly, where the dust of your lotus feet is not taken, or where your feet are not washed, or you are not served. It is just a place where venomous serpents are living who don't want to receive these guests of honor. And the purport is very nice. Prabhupada explains in the purport that why, you know, Vyalayala is mentioned over there. Why it is compared to venomous serpents. So Prabhupada says that sandalwood trees are actually very cool. And that is why, you know, in heat we usually apply sandalwood even to Prabhupada. So sandalwood trees are very cool, and because venomous serpents have these poison fangs in their mouth, because of that their body becomes very warm, because of just the presence of those poisonous fangs. So that is why venomous serpents, they like to take shelter of these sandalwood trees. Because the sandalwood trees are very cool and it really cools down their body. But what happens? Sandalwood is required for the service of the Lord. So when people go to cut down some branches of the sandalwood trees, these venomous serpents, they become very possessive about these trees and they don't allow people to come near that tree. As soon as someone, that's why whenever, you know, sandalwood merchants have to be very careful, or sandalwood tree cutters, because the sandalwood forest could be full of venomous serpents. And they will easily bite people who try to come near the sandalwood tree and try to take the tree or cut the branches off. So therefore Prabhupada compared in that purport that, you know, materialist householders are like these venomous serpents. Once they take, you know, they live in a house, they become so protective of their house that they don't want anybody to come in their house. And we see such signs posted everywhere, even in India, even in the Western countries. Trespassers prosecuted, or beware of dogs. And actually in some countries there's a rule, there's a law that you can actually shoot trespassers. Mm-hmm. If they have transgressed some law, then you can actually shoot them down. So it's the same thing which Bhagavatam is also speaking about, where Maharaj Parikshit, Prithu Maharaj is saying that venomous serpents don't allow people to come near the sandalwood tree, and similarly materialistic householders who do not receive sages like you nicely are just like that, who are just attached to their houses and who don't want these personalities to visit them. So this is how Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, is glorifying Sukadeva Goswami in the previous verse. He is saying just by your smaranam we get purified, and also we should properly serve you, receive you, wash your lotus feet, take the dust off your lotus feet. This is how he is glorified him in the previous verse. And now here in this verse, Maharaj Parikshit is glorifying the qualities of Sukadeva Goswami. So he is saying that just as a person who is an atheist, who has a demoniac mentality, cannot bear or cannot tolerate or cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead. And we know about so many atheists who have appeared over centuries. They cannot tolerate the presence of the personality of Godhead. What to speak about tolerating the presence of personality of Godhead? They cannot even tolerate spreading of godly culture in the society. So we know many of these atheists, you all must have heard of the term God is dead. This was actually propagated or promulgated by one of the atheists. he was a German philosopher and his name was Friedrich Nietzsche. So this was in somewhere in the 18th century, he had propagated this, that God is dead. And what was his philosophy, this German philosopher's philosophy? He said that self-made disciplined men are much more superior than actually any of these God values or any of these values which people adhere to, godly people or people who are pleased adhere to. He said that you are a self-made man and if you lead a disciplined life, then what is the point of thinking that there is a God existing who is actually guiding and who's actually, your life should be based on the values system of that there is an existence of a God. So this was the philosophy of this German person. And what happened, unfortunately, he did not believe that, you know, God is there. He said God is there, we've killed him. And Prabhupada actually expertly talks about these people. He says that they may think that God is dead, but death will come in the form of God and take them away very soon. And this is what happened to this German philosopher. He actually died of a nervous breakdown. And I was just doing some research on him and it is mentioned that for the last 11 years of his life, he had a nervous breakdown and for 11 years he could not recover out of this nervous breakdown and he died. So his philosophy was self-made disciplined man. Where did the discipline help him? Where did the self-made thing help him? Death came in the form of God and took him away. So there, in this same thing was again, this controversy of God is dead came up in the 1960s. And if you go and look up in the internet, there was a big controversy which happened because in the Times magazine, which is one of the very popular magazines in America, especially in New York, there was a whole, the cover also mentioned God is dead, and there was a whole story which was based on this. And actually that story was written by some thieves. They were actually Christian priests who wrote that article around Easter time. Because what they were doing, they saw that the modern world was going in the direction of sense gratification. And the world's view at that time, in fact now it's even worse, but at that time they found that the world's view was that there is no God in existence and do as you please. So they had written this article, actually it was a sarcastic article which they had written, that oh, God is dead, so do you all want to do as you please? You all believe that there is no transcendental life that you all need to adhere to, there is no purpose to your life, there is no goal which you need to achieve. This is what these thieves actually printed this article for. But there was one philosopher again over there who was working in one of the universities. I think his name was Altizer. And he was actually a thief. He was actually a Christian priest. But he again adhered, like this German philosopher, he adhered to this, that yes, God is dead. And there were so many people who criticized this philosopher for adhering to this. And it was mentioned there are so many articles which were written to him and all. So usually people don't like if somebody is actually propagating atheism. People don't like that. They may not so much believe in God, but people fear these philosophers who actually propagate atheism. So there was such a big controversy about this also, this atheist also, who started propagating God is dead after in the 1960s. And after that, there was another such atheist. Now here we don't even need to go back till the 1960s. And there is a famous atheist who is even present now and who is outspoken atheist. And his name is Richard Dawkins. Now this atheist has done the maximum damage in the last century. He is one of the biggest atheists this same century has produced. And he has done damage even to many devotees. Many upcoming devotees have actually lost their taste in Krishna consciousness or their belief in or their faith in the Lord just by reading this atheist books. So this Richard Dawkins has written a book called The God Delusion. And what his theory was that, he says that actually this Richard Dawkins, till the age of 13, he was brought up in an Anglican atmosphere. So Anglican atmosphere means his parents were believing in God and he was also believing in God. He in fact went and took that, I don't know the exact term, but I think baptism or something. He did that also in the church when he was young. But at the age of around 13 or 14, he came in touch with the philosophy of Darwin. And at that time he was convinced that Darwin's theory of evolution is the best answer and that no, there is no God existing. There is no supernatural creator who is doing all this. It is actually the theory of evolution. How, you know, complex chemical changes are happening over a period of time and how this human species has evolved. So he completely believed Darwin's theory of evolution. And many times I used to wonder, when Prabhupada used to read about Prabhupada, how much Prabhupada used to keep smashing this Darwin. And I used to wonder why Prabhupada is so heavy on Darwin. But when I read this Richard Dawkins life story, I realized why Prabhupada is so heavy on Darwin. Because he was actually an Anglican who was coming up in a nice God-conscious atmosphere, believing that there is a God existing, but he completely became an atheist after he read Darwin's theory of evolution. And not only did he become an atheist, now if you will see, Richard Dawkins, like devotees are always going out of their way to preach to people. Richard Dawkins is an outspoken atheist. He is going out of his way to preach atheism to people. And as part of that, he is instigating, he is encouraging people, he is saying, don't be shy, be confident that you are an atheist. You don't have to shy away, or you don't have to feel guilty if you don't believe in the existence of God. And as part of that, in 2008, he had launched this, Richard Dawkins is settled in UK. So in 2008, he had launched a bus campaign in UK, in London. And in that bus, it is written that probably there is no God. So stop worrying and start enjoying. So what is Richard Dawkins proposing? If you see all these atheists, what are they propagating? They are propagating that do whatever you want. There is no accountability. That is the whole point of atheism. That there is no accountability, enjoy as you want. Don't fear that there is a God. And that therefore, you know, restrict your activities or restrict your sense of enjoyment. This is what exactly this Richard Dawkins is also propagating. And there was a survey which was done in the US, because this Richard Dawkins has also formed an atheistic society, which is very active in UK and in US. So there was a survey which was done in the US, and there was a scenario which was given to them, like, you know, if for example something bad happens in society, who would you think would have done that? Would an atheist have done that, or a rapist would have done that? And in that survey, most of the people said that an atheist would have done that bad activity in society. And why? People explain the reason. They say that we don't trust these atheists. Because these atheists don't believe in God, and therefore they don't have fear of God. So there are no moral values that they are living by. And if they are not living by any moral values, then definitely they can do any activity that they want, because they feel there is no accountability. They feel there is nobody who is overlooking their activities, and they feel there is nobody who will actually punish them for the sins that they are doing. So the society actually mistrusts atheists, because the atheists don't have any fear of God or don't believe in the existence of God. So this is what this Richard Dawkins has done. And it is very important to note the term that he uses on that bus campaign. He says that probably there is no God. So it is so surprising that he is, you know, still not completely, these atheists are still not completely convinced. They will not be able to give proper evidence. Therefore he is using the word probably in that bus campaign. And even in his book, The God Delusion, he writes, there might not be a supernatural creator. And therefore believe in, you know, modern science and this Darwin theory of evolution. That's what he writes even in that book. So everywhere, wherever he is denying the existence of God, he is using the word probably, or there might not be. So his conviction himself is not so sure. But still, there are millions of followers he is having. In fact, this God Delusion book which he has written has been translated to 31 languages. And it is mentioned there are 2 million copies or something sold of this book. So it's really sad. And we see Prabhupada therefore smashes all these atheists so much. In fact, in this time's issue of Back to Godhead, the recent issue which came out in July. So every time in Back to Godhead, there is an article on Prabhupada speaks out. And in that issue, Prabhupada is again smashing Darwin. And Prabhupada is, you know, usually a disciple would take the role of a supporter, and Prabhupada would be the one who would be smashing that person down. So one of the disciples takes the role of Darwin's supporter. And Prabhupada is having this conversation with this disciple. So Prabhupada is asking that Darwin says that man has come from monkey. So why is he not coming right now from monkey? That is always the question which Prabhupada would ask whenever Darwin's theory of evolution would come up. And this person, this disciple who's acting the role as if he's supporting Darwin, he says, Prabhupada, Darwin says that sometimes in nature it happens like that. There is a freak incident which happens. And that is when this evolution happened. And Prabhupada then later on smashes this theory of Darwin. He says that what does he mean by sometimes? He says that nature is working so symmetrically and so regularly. If you see, the sun has been rising in the east since millions of years. And not even to 1 degree the sun has, left its orbit. Or the planets have been going around the sun for millions of years. Now we know from science that even if 1 degree they leave their orbit, there will be catastrophes in the world. But perfect precision nature has been following for years and years. So Prabhupada says that what does he mean by this sometimes that this freak incident may happen? Do you think nature is obliged to serve him? Prabhupada asks like that. That sometimes the man came from monkey and now it has stopped happening. So Prabhupada is talking about that. And even in another room conversation which Prabhupada was having with Karandara and Yashomati Nandan Prabhu and Swarup Damodar Prabhu, all of them were present in that room. There also Prabhupada is smashing these atheists and Darwin especially. So Prabhupada, and they are talking that, Prabhupada, how do we handle these atheists in that case? Should we go and smash them or should we go and defy them? But Prabhupada was again so compassionate, like Sukadeva Goswami is compassionate here. Maharaj Parikshit is glorifying that nature of Sukadeva Goswami. Prabhupada says that no, our job is not to defy, or our job is not to defeat these atheists. Our job is to somehow deliver them. And he says the best way to deliver them is to distribute prasad to these atheists or to these people who are completely faithless, who don't have any faith in God. So he said, distribute prasadam and give them opportunity to hear the holy names of Krishna. These are the two main things you do. So that these atheists can somehow, their bhakti unmukhi sukriti can slowly increase by eating prasadam and by hearing the holy name. And we see our Melbourne temple is is doing that activity so nicely. We have such immense prasadam distribution program in our temple as well as in Crossways and Gopals. And also the harinas that we do twice a week. There must be so many of these atheists or these faithless people who must be accidentally hearing the holy name of the Lord. And by even accidentally hearing the holy name of the Lord, their bhakti on mukhi sukriti, the bank balance of the bhakti on mukhi sukriti is slowly increasing. And one day they will come to accept the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada is saying that no, that is not our duty to go and vanquish these atheists, but our duty is to deliver them by somehow giving prasadam, by somehow making them hear the holy name of Krishna. So give these opportunities to them. And here also in the purport we read that as soon as the Lord's name, paraphernalia, attributes, or the Lord's qualities, or even the pastimes appear, the demons are vanquished. So when we say the demons are vanquished, what are we talking about? We are not talking about like when the Lord came during Dwapar Yuga, Lord Krishna appeared, and there were so many demons who were continuously going to vanquish Lord Krishna. So they could not stand the presence of Lord Krishna on the planet. They somehow wanted to destroy the Lord and send him out of this planet. So continuously the demons were going, but they could not stand the presence of the Lord. All of them were vanquished. But in Kali Yuga, we are not talking about actually vanquishing or killing these demons. We are talking about killing the ghost-like anarthas or this demoniac mentality which is there in people. So devotees and saints, they are usually there to actually vanquish these ghost-like anarthas or these sins which are there in people, these sinful activities which people do. And that is the next quality which Maharaj Parikshit is glorifying about Sukadeva Goswami. So first he says that just as atheists cannot tolerate the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they are immediately vanquished. He says over here that just by your association, the sinful tendencies of a person is vanquished and they go far away. And Gurijan Prabhu writes in his book called Unveiling the Lotus Feet, there Gurijan Prabhu mentions about the song which Narottam Das Thakur has written called Vaishnava Vidyapati. And there Narottam Das Thakur is same in the same way in the mood of Maharaj Parikshit. He is also glorifying this quality of saints, that whenever any person comes in contact with these saintly devotees, their sins are all completely gone. Their sins are completely vanquished. So he says, Narottam Das Thakur says, Eibar karuna kuru Vaishnava gosai Patita pavana toma vineke hona. What does that mean? Patita pavana toma vineke roke honai. That means there is no one who is more merciful than you. Pati Tapavana, you all are savior of the fallen souls. O great Vaishnava, wherever you are present, the sins of a person are completely gone. They go far away. And the second verse he says, Yahara nikate gele papa dure jai emona dayala prabhu keva ko. So here Narottam Das Thakur is saying that you please be merciful. No one except you can purify fallen souls. And papa dure jai, wherever you are present, all the pap, all the sins run far away. And where can someone find such a merciful devotee like you? So Bhurijan Prabhu writes the whole song over there. And he says that Narottam Das Thakur is glorifying the position of the Vaishnava in this. That how all the papa, only by taking association of devotees, all your papa will go dure jai, will go far away. So please take association. That is what Bhurijan Prabhu was writing in his unveiling the lotus feet. And in the next verse, again Narottam Das Thakur is saying that how by taking bath in the Ganga, one's sins are purified. The Ganga is famous for that. That you go and take a dip in the Ganga and all your sins are vanquished. But that takes time. You have to repeatedly take bath in the Ganga. But just by a moment of your association, O Vaishnava, the Ganga which takes years to purify the sins, by your association in a moment, the sins are purified. Same thing which we read over here, that all the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence. Same thing Narottam Das Thakur is singing in his bhajan, Vaishnavi Vidyapati. So he's saying just by your darshan and just by your presence, millions of sins are vanquished. And therefore Prabhupada recommends in this purport, as we see, that take as much association of devotees as possible. And the last line of the purport is very important. He says that one is recommended therefore to associate only with saintly devotees so that worldly demons and ghosts cannot exert their sinister influence. So once, you know, we were talking to one of our Vartama Padakshika Guru, he's our Siksha Guru, and he was explaining to us years ago, he was telling us that the Yuga Dharma and Kali Yuga, we say that chanting, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nashteva, Nashteva, Nashteva Gati Ranyatha. So in Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way than chanting the holy names of the Lord. And the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga is chanting, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But he says that actually the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga is association of devotees. So he was saying that if you chant alone the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and you are not taking enough association of devotees, slowly your desire or your taste for chanting is definitely going to go away because you don't have the proper association of devotees which is guarding your spiritual life. But if we are in the association of devotees, then definitely they will all, what will devotees do? What do normally devotees do? They are propagating, they are always telling each other to chant, they are always telling others as well as amongst themselves. They are discussing Krishna Katha, they are always chanting the holy names of the Lord. So this devotee was mentioning to us, therefore association of devotees is the most important thing and that is the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga. The moment you go out of association of devotees, you will stop chanting soon. So stay in the association of devotees. Automatically the devotees will keep a check on you, whether you are chanting or no, whether you are completing your rounds, whether you are doing all the aspects of devotional service properly. So that is what Prabhupada also mentions in the last line over here. But we see that wherever devotees are trying to preach this holy name of the Lord, These atheists or these demon-like personalities are always opposing. They are opposing God, they are opposing the presence of God, and they are also opposing godly culture. So there is a very nice pastime in the life of Ramanujacharya. Now Ramanujacharya is a great, all of us know Ramanujacharya. He has established the Advaita philosophy or Vishishta Advaita philosophy Ramanujacharya has established. So when he was preaching in, I think he came in the 1000 AD or something like that, in that century he came, and he was a very strong preacher. So he came to smash the Mayavadis. His duty was also to smash the Mayavadis. He was a Vaishnava saint. So he was really smashing the Mayavadis left, right, center. And all of the Mayavadis were fleeing whenever Ramanujacharya or his disciples were preaching. So in one such kingdom where Ramanujacharya had gone to preach, the king who was ruling over that kingdom was a very strong Mayavadi. And he was extremely curious when he saw that most of the citizens in his kingdom were actually becoming pure Vaishnavas just by the influence of Ramanujacharya's words. So this king was very venomous, and he thought that why is this Ramanujacharya opposing what I had established in my kingdom, which is Mayavad philosophy. So he wants to somehow kill actually Ramanujacharya. So he sets a trick. He called one of the best persons in debating in his kingdom. And this person was famous for defeating anybody who comes in front of him in debate on philosophy. So he actually arranges for a debate on philosophy with this strong debater and Ramanujacharya. And he says that the condition will be that if my, you know, this philosophical debater who was going to debate on Mayavad philosophy, if he is able to defeat Ramanujacharya, then Ramanujacharya will become a Mayavadi and he should start preaching Mayavad philosophy. This was the condition of the debate. But if Ramanujacharya wins, and this he had not mentioned, but his plan was that if Ramanujacharya wins, we will kill him. So, and Ramanujacharya came to know through his associates that this is what this king has planned. So when the disciples of Ramanujacharya came to know, they were extremely aghast. They said that, no Guru Maharaj, this is somehow or the other, this Mayavadi king, who was very powerful at that time, he is somehow or the other going to ensure that you don't live. So out of all these disciples, there was one very powerful disciple of Ramanujacharya called as Kuresh. So this Kuresh was very loving to his Guru Maharaj, and he never wanted his Guru Maharaj to have this risk, face this risk of going and debating with this Mayavadi philosopher in the king's kingdom. So he told the Ramanujacharya that I will go on your behalf and I will go and debate with this king and with this king's philosopher, and whatever is the result, it's fine, no problem. So Ramanujacharya did not want to go, but somehow his disciples forced him and they sent him out of the kingdom in the night so that this king cannot capture Ramanujacharya. And instead of Ramanujacharya, this Kuresh, his disciple, went to debate with the philosopher in the court. And when he came, obviously Ramanujacharya's disciples were also very, very powerful preachers. So as he came into the court, they had this debate. The debate started between the philosopher and Kuresh. And very easily Kuresh was able to defeat the Mayavadi philosophy. And he was very easily able to establish that how Narayan or Krishna is the supreme, and there is a deity form of Lord existing, which Mayavadis were not believing. So as soon as he was defeated, the king's plan was actually to kill. So what the king does was, he says that instead of killing, let us torture this disciple. So they actually get two hot iron rods and they pierce the eyes of this disciple. And he completely loses his eyesight, and then they drive him out. So somehow or the other, this disciple then finds his way. Krishna helps, obviously. Krishna is, you know, these are all pure devotees. So the Lord helps. And somehow or the other, he finds his way to Sri Rangam, where Ramanujacharya was living. And Ramanujacharya was so deeply moved by the love and sacrifice of this disciple Kuresh. So he takes him personally in front of Ranganath deity, and he requests Ranganath deity that you please restore the eyesight of my disciple. But Kuresh was not interested in getting his eyesight restored. He says that, okay, let my eyesight get restored, but only for two purposes. Lord, my eyesight should be restored just to see you and to see the form of my Guru Maharaj. And these are the only two things for which he has got his eyesight restored. Otherwise he was still blind. Whenever he would go out, he could not see anything. He said, I don't want to use these eyes to see any materialistic things. I just want to take darshan of your beautiful form and I should be able to see my Guru Maharaj. So this is how the pastime went. But the purport of this pastime is that when Ramanujacharya was preaching, even at that time, there was so much opposition to the spreading of godly culture by these atheistic demons. And therefore so important to be in the association of devotees. Because as soon as we go out, these atheistic demons, these Mayavadis, or people who don't believe in God are waiting actually to catch hold and to convert us into their side. Like Richard Dawkins is so successfully doing right now. So many people he's converting, people who have belief, strong belief in God, are getting converted to atheism just by reading his books or just by hearing his talks. And even Prabhupada has mentioned in so many purports to important verses about the association, importance of association of devotees. So one of the verses is from Bhagavatam, just in the previous chapter, 18th chapter, 13th verse. It says, Tulyama Lavanati Na Swarga Napu Na Punar Bhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martya Nam Kim Utar Shishaha. So it says that Tulyama Lavanati. Lavanati means just by a moment association of a devotee cannot be compared. There is no comparison only. Prabhupada mentions in the purport that usually comparison is done between like things, like where there is a common scale for comparison. But Prabhupada says that even a moment's association of a devotee, pure devotee of the Lord, cannot be compared to attaining heavenly planets or to attaining liberation. That is the importance of even a moment's association of devotees. That is what it will do to you. You know, even attaining heavenly planets or liberation will not be important to you as much as this association of devotees will be important to you. And he says further, Prabhupada says, also there is one more important verse. He says that prasangam acharam pasam atmana kavayo viduhu sa eva sadhu shukrito moksha dvara apavritam. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport there that prasangam acharam pasam. So whatever, you know, the nature of the soul is to get attached. And in its conditioned nature, a soul is very attached to material objects. However, if the soul transfers this attachment to sa eva sadhu shukrito, if this attachment is transferred to sadhus, moksha dvara apavritam, it will immediately open the doors to liberation. This is again talking about the importance of association of devotees. That we may have so many attachments, we may have so many sense gratification desires in our mind, but however, if the same thing is dovetailed and you get attached to sadhus, it will do you so much good. It will give you, it will open the doors to liberation. Because what will sadhus do? In the presence of sadhus, all your anarthas, the ghost-like anarthas and sinful tendencies will vanish, and attraction to Krishna will rise in the heart. Further, Prabhupada says in one more, the purport to one more verse, which is Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Samvido Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kataha Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kataha. So why this association of devotees is important? Because in the association of devotees, devotees are enthusiastically discussing the pastimes of the Lord. And that enthusiasm to discuss the pastimes of the Lord is only possible because of the association of devotees. And that is why moksha dvara apavritam. That is why the doors to liberation open. Because what do? You know, when devotees get together, no socializing or no just chit-chatting or mild conversations, or politics, or Gramya Katha, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Gramya Katha, if you hear Gramya Katha, it is like poison to the ears. No, devotees means rasayanaha. They will bhagavad vitkarna rasayana katha. That means they will discuss the pastimes of the Lord. And that is what will help them to get moksha, to get liberation from this material world. So it's the same thing, similar to today's verse. We see that all these verses are glorifying the association of devotees. And therefore, and also in the second canto, in the fourth chapter, there is one verse. We had done this verse when we were doing our Bhakti Vaibhav. And it says that all the low races of mankind, like Kirata, Andhra, Kulaka, all these low races which are, you know, like Chandalas, Prabhupada says, dog eaters and all. Even these low races can get immediately purified, and all the sinful activities which these low races do, like eating even dog meat or, you know, raping. They don't have any morals in society. Even the mountain-like sinful tendencies and sins that these people would have accumulated will be completely vanquished by just a moment of association of a devotee. So Prabhupada is saying that association of devotees is like our inoculation, like our vaccination. Therefore we stay in the association of devotees, not only so that our sins get vanquished, or not only so that we can do Krishna Katha and our enthusiasm for serving the Lord goes up, but also because it will help us to stay away from non-devotional association and non-devotional effect that will come on us. Asatsang tyage vaishnavachar. So if we are not staying in association of devotees, the nature of the soul is always to hanker for association. So if we are not taking enough association of devotees, our soul, the nature of the soul, because it wants friendships, it will go and cultivate friendship among non-devotees. And what happens when you cultivate by association of non-devotees? Instead of Bhagwat Sanghi, we will become Yoshit Sanghi. Yoshit Sanghi, there is a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam. It says that more detrimental than attachment to sense objects or sense gratification, more detrimental than that is the association of a person, Yoshit Sanghi, is the association of a person who is attached to women and wine. That is much more detrimental than you having directly attachment to some sense object. Because that man will completely lead you away from the path of bhakti or from the path of righteousness. And he will completely lead you into sense gratification. Because he himself is attached to women and money. So instead of Bhagavad Sanghi, Prabhupada says that it is very important to become, instead of Yoshit Sanghi, it is very important to become Bhagavad Sanghi. To take association of devotees, to inoculate ourselves against the effects of Maya. So this will happen. Continuously Maya is trying to take away devotees who are practicing on the path of Krishna. Continuously Maya is trying to take us away from that path. But if we have this fencing of devotees around us, it will protect our devotional creeper. Because devotees will keep each other in check. They will be very concerned about your devotional life if somebody sees you going away, and they will ask and they will try to bring you back. And they will allow not us to fall to these atheistic, demoniac people who are spreading atheism in the society, like Richard Dawkins and people like him. So there is a very nice incident which recently happened in one of our devotees' office. So one of their devotees, this devotee's office colleague, she actually is very interested in coming into Krishna consciousness. And she came for one or two classes in the temple and all. But her husband is an atheist. And the husband is not allowing this devotee also to come, this upcoming lady who wants to come into Krishna consciousness. So she wanted to come even last Saturday to the temple, but he had organized some party and all. So this office colleague, this devotee who is trying to bring this lady into Krishna consciousness, she went and spoke to the husband just to find out what the husband's philosophy is like. And the husband was talking, "No, I don't believe in the existence of God. I'm an atheist." You know, and sometimes we see that people are very proud about being an atheist, as if because they are different from others and they are unique, they are not going with the flow of the crowd. So sometimes people are quite proud, and this man was also claiming like that. And by talking, this devotee, by talking to this person, she realized that actually, you know, there is no true atheist in society. Because they cannot convince, they don't have evidence, they cannot convince you that God does not exist. So this person is actually an atheist, and he said also, you know, while this devotee kept answering his questions, and he said that no, I don't want to believe in the existence of God because otherwise I will feel guilty. So that was his philosophy. And he will feel guilty because obviously atheist means he is doing all these activities, drinking, smoking, meat, eating, everything he is doing. And he is saying that if I start believing in the existence of God, then I will start feeling guilty for all the activities that I am doing. And obviously, if you are believing in God, then there is a sense of accountability which comes for these activities that you are doing. That, oh, you know, the conscience will prick that there is a God who is existing, and before you put this meat in your mouth, or before you gamble, or before you break any regulative principles, there is someone who is watching over you. So this devotee Mataji, she realized that actually, you know, this man is not an atheist. He just wants to deny the existence of God so that he can nicely continue his sense gratification activities. And so that his mind does not make him feel guilty that, oh, what you are doing is wrong. So if you deny there is no God, or if you aware to these atheists, demoniac atheist tendencies, that God is dead or God does not exist, then you are free. It's like, you know, complete anarchy will be there in society. You are free to do whatever you want. Just enjoy, stop worrying, start enjoying. Like that Richard Dawkins had written on the bus campaign, that probably there is no God, so stop worrying and start enjoying. And this man, actually, when this Mataji was speaking, she realized that this man does not want to believe only for this reason. So there are no true atheists in society, we see. They are only adhering to that philosophy so that they can continue their self-gratification and they can continue their sinful activities. So this is what is prevailing in society right now. And as Prabhupada says, that for us it is best to stay in the association of devotees so that our sinful proclivities, our sinful tendencies are completely vanquished, and so that we can be protected from these atheists, from these agents of Maya who are trying to take us away from the path of Krishna consciousness. So we'll end over here. It's time up, and we'll see if there are any comments or questions or corrections.
Thank you for the very nice talk. Have you heard of Rajneesh?
Yes.
He was saying,
any other questions or comments? Okay, we'll end the class here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai. Yeah.
Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.